Support for KPLU comes from the investment firm of McAdams Wright Reagan, serving individuals, families, public and private companies, and nonprofit organizations, with a mission to enhance the financial security of their clients through analysis, research, planning, and investment. More at nwrinc.com.
Thrilled here at the station to welcome back once again the world-class guitarist Martin Taylor. He played with Stefan Grappelli when his career was just beginning. He's been knighted by the Queen of England, and maybe most impressive, Pat Metheny calls him one of the most awesome solo guitar players in the history of the instrument. Please welcome Martin Taylor.
Thank you. Abe, I must correct you just on one thing, Abe. I wasn't knighted by the Queen. I'm a member of the Order of the British Empire, which is a few ranks below. So I always tell people I'm not a knight, I'm a late afternoon. Would you like me to play something?
Please, what would you like to play?
Okay, well, I know you've been playing the CD that Tommy Emmanuel and I made recently, The Colonel and the Governor, so I'll play something from that. It's a song called I Won't Last a Day Without You. Thank you.
that tune from one of your recent records with fellow guitarist Tommy Emmanuel called The Colonel and the Governor. And you actually did another duo record that was just you, right? How did that work?
Oh, yeah, that was...
Double Exposure?
Double Standards.
Double Standards, that's right.
And I'd actually had the... What happened was I came up with the title first. I thought, wouldn't that be a great duo album name, Double Standards, you see? And then, so the only person I told that to was my wife. I said, I've got this name for an album, but you mustn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell our son, who's my manager. I didn't even tell him, because just in case it kind of slipped out somehow. And the idea was, because I collaborate a lot with other guitar players. I love playing in guitar duo settings. But I had specific ideas about what I wanted to do on this. So I didn't want to kind of team up with another guitar player and tell the other guitar player what to play.
Yeah.
You see, so, you know, because the kind of lots of fantastic players that I work with, I thought it would be a bit insulting for me to say, no, don't do it like that. Do, you know, change it like this. So I decided to do it all myself. So I went into a studio and I would start off just playing like a very simple kind of backing to something. And then I would play a guitar part over the top. And then I, after a while, I'd think to myself, okay, well, I think I can play that backing better. So then I would actually replace the first part, and then mm-hmm. I would replace the second part. So the initial, it's a bit like being an oil painter. Uh-huh. You know, it's like oil painting where you can kind of move the paint around, and then I would decide to take a little piece out and then change that. I'd come up with an idea, and then I'd record another part that went along with that. So when you listen to it, it sounds really quite complicated. That these two guitar players must have been really rehearsing a lot together over this time. But it was just me in the studio having a lot of fun. It was like being in an artist's studio and just playing around with oil paints and messing things around. It was very enjoyable. I want to do it again because I had so much fun.
Look for Double Standards 2 coming soon. Now, I've heard you said that you're not really a teacher because you've never been taught, and yet you've got this fantastic online guitar academy, martintaylorguitar.com, and you can join up and get lessons from the master here. What has that been like, not having a history of going to music school?
Well, it was interesting because I started playing guitar when I was 4. My dad could play guitar a little bit. My dad was a string bass player, a jazz bass player. He played in Dixieland bands, and he just used to play all these records of Django and Stefan, you know. So that kind of got me. I just wanted to be involved in it and start playing it. I enjoyed listening, but I actually wanted to be actively involved with playing. So I started to play, and my next door neighbor, who was just a couple of years older than me, his name is Jippy Mayo. He went on to be a blues guitar player. He played with Dr. Feelgood and the Yardbirds. Mm. But we used to listen to my dad's records. So we all taught ourselves, really. Because at that time, you couldn't go to a music school and study jazz. It was considered hilarious. You know, you can't do that. And then a lot of jazz people said, well, you can't learn jazz. You've either got it or you haven't, and all this kind of thing. So there wasn't really any jazz education at that time. And particularly where I grew up, there was nothing there at all. So that's how everyone really learned. We just taught ourselves and listened to records, and somebody that knew a little bit more than you did, you would kind of steal from that. So when four years ago now, Artistworks asked me if I would like to start a guitar school and teach. I thought, well, what do you teach? I don't know, because I didn't have anyone teach me. So what happens in a guitar lesson?
Right.
I have no idea. So... Because I had that before. Guitar players used to say to me, can I have a lesson? I said, well, I don't know what to do. What do you mean? What do you want to know? So what I had to do was sit down and say, well, what is it I do? Now, that's quite something, having played picked up a guitar first in 1959, and then here I am in 2010, having to say, What have I actually been doing all these years? I've got to figure this out. So I found a way of kind of analyzing what I did and try and put it in a way that guitar students would understand. And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. You know, I'll probably be terrible at this. And as it turned out, from the feedback from my students, and they were coming back to me and saying, I don't know what's happening, but everyone's telling me I'm playing better. So I said, well, I must be doing something right then. So quite a few of my guitar students are actually professional guitar players themselves and are teachers themselves. So they were coming to me and say, "Ah, that's really good. You know, you've maybe look at it from a different angle." I thought, "Oh, wow, I can do this." And it's now become quite an important part of my life. I'm starting to do guitar retreats.
Right.
I've got one in a very nice part of France in September, and we advertise it's in a beautiful place, and they have a lot of guitar and music like campuses there. And it's in a chateau, and they have a swimming pool. And there's this photograph of everyone playing guitars with their feet dangling in the pool, you know. And I put it up on the site. Okay, if you want to sign up to this guitar retreat, contact this number. And it sold out in 6 hours. I'm sure that photograph sold right. it. You know, that I'll have a bit of that. So yeah, I'm doing more of those around the world. And so teaching has become, you know, quite an important part of my life, because I remember the nearest I had to a guitar teacher was a wonderful guitar player back home called Ike Isaacs, and I always remember Ike saying to me, you know, you should teach. And at that time I was only in my 20s, and I said, well, I don't really feel like I just want to play. And he said, well, when you get older, he said, that, you know, you'll want to do that. And I thought, yeah, no, I don't think so. I just want to play. But now I'm really, really into it, because what I do a lot of the time, I work with guitar players. Many of them are actually really good guitar players and been playing a long time. But I work with their minds, you see. I kind of brainwash them. And I say, you know, look at it from this angle. And I was amazed when I first started doing it how such good guitar players and very experienced hadn't thought of little things, little detailed things. And I thought, wow, you know, I can pass on some knowledge here. So it's become something that I really do enjoy.
It's pretty cool. If you want to go to school with Martin Taylor, check it out at martintaylorguitar.com. We'd love to hear another song. What have you got for us next?
Okay. This is a song. This is kind of work in progress, because it's a tune that I remembered from the early 80s. You remember Quincy Jones did an album called The Dude? Mm-hmm. And a James Ingram song. I don't know whether James Ingram wrote this, I'm not sure, but certainly he sang it, and it was just wonderful. And it was going around my head the other day. And ever since then, I pick my guitar up and see if I can make something from it, you know, that make a guitar solo out of it. So I'm still in that process at the moment. So it could all go horribly wrong, folks.
Fingers crossed.
But anyway, this is called Just Once. Thank you.
success.
Work in progress.
Yeah, that sounded okay. Martin Taylor, live in the studios here at KPLU. Noticing your gorgeous fingernails on your right hand.
Oh,
there.
Yes.
Do you, it's the finger-picking style. He does not use a pick. Do you get manicures, or do you do it yourself?
Oh, yes, I have to, yes. It goes right back to the days of flamenco guitarists, and where the flamenco players, you know, play this. It's quite an aggressive way of playing because you wear the nails down. Mm-hmm. And a couple of flamenco guitar players that I knew, what they used to do, this is years ago, they used to get this glue. It's called pegamento. You just buy it at any kind of store anywhere in Spain. And they would get tissue paper and then put the glue on it and then tissue paper on it and it would build the nail up, you see, build the nails up. So not only would it protect the nails, but actually when the nail's thicker, it's a lot stronger as well. Now, of course, we have all these wonderful nail salons. So I go to a nail salon very well where I live. Mm-hmm. I go and have that and have a coffee. Then I go and I have a swim in the spa and everything.
Take care of your instrument.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in touch with my feminine side.
Now, you're saying you started playing guitar in 59 and you had some childhood friends that went on to play, for instance, in the Yardbirds. Did you ever pick up an electric axe and rock out 60s style? Because you grew up in the rock and roll era.
Well, I did, yeah. And growing up in the UK as well at the time, yeah. It was the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. The thing was, because my dad was a jazz musician and all his friends used to come around the house, I started playing that music when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And when I got to that age where I thought, you know, there's a bit of peer pressure with this, I hadn't really listened that much. And then my brother said to me one day, come and listen to this. And he put a record on of Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, boy.
And I said, wow, that's fantastic. He says, I've got tickets to go and see him. So this was in 1969. So my brother took me to the Royal Albert Hall in London. We saw Jimi Hendrix play. And so that, I was going to say, that was quite an experience. But it was. But what actually got me about it was, because my dad said, oh, that's a noise. You know, what's going on there? You know, I said, well, you know, my granddad said that the music you played was a noise. You know, that's just even then I could kind of see that was a generation thing. But I say, what actually I got from it was seeing the trio with Jimi Hendrix, Noel Redding, and Mitch Mitchell. They played like a jazz trio, mm-hmm. and Mitch Mitchell was a jazz drummer anyway, and his teacher was Jim Marshall, another very good friend of mine, and Jim Marshall, of course, was made Marshall amplifiers, mm-hmm. and Mitch Mitchell used to go to Jim Marshall's store, his music store, and take drum lessons from him. So when Jimi Hendrix came to England, he said, oh, my drum teacher makes amps, you see. So it was only quite a little thing that he did at that time. So he can get you an amp. So he then made amps for Jimi Hendrix with his name on, Marshall.
Smart.
So that was kind of... See, another bit of trivia I've given you today.
But you never really picked up the electric guitar? You were always already set in your acoustic
place. I kind of played for a little while with my friend Jippy. We would sometimes sit and play. But the thing that I've found and was because I'd started out playing jazz, I really got into like improvising on chord changes and a lot of the harmonic things that were going on. Mm. And that I didn't... You know, we can play blues, and of course, there's a big element of blues in my playing anyway. But I kind of wanted, I would then start putting little alternative chord changes in there, and the Chippy would go, no, don't jazz it up, you know. But I couldn't help myself. Even at one point, I thought maybe I should learn classical guitar, and because I couldn't read music, I just used to listen and then copy it, and then I'd play it for a while, then I'd go back to the record, and I realized that I'd changed it beyond all recognition. So I realized, I'm an improviser, really, because I there was no way that I could play anything the same twice.
Martin Taylor is playing solo at Jazz Alley tonight and tomorrow night, and I understand you're also working with a group called Great Guitars.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
We're going to have a lot of fun. It's Frank Vignola, Vinny Raniolo, and Peppino D'Agostino. And I'm changing my name to Martino Talori for that gig. My name sounds so ordinary after this.
Three Italian names.
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of dates. We're playing at Yoshi's in Oakland, and we're playing a few West Coast dates, and we're going over to DC, New York as well. So it's something because in the 80s, I started. I knew Barney Kessel very well. Barney Kessel, Herb Ellis, Charlie Bird, who had the great guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And that came about because they did a tour in Australia back in the 70s. And the promoter decided to give it a name. He called them the Great Guitars. And that it went on for a number of many, many years. And sometimes Herb used to drop out and go and work with Oscar Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd bring another guitar player in to do that. Bucky Pizzarelli did it. Mundell Lowe. I'm trying to think. Tal Farlow, of mm-hmm. course, did it as well. And I did a few of the tours in Europe. So I was part of that pool of the great guitars. And it just seemed a terrible shame to me that great part history of jazz guitar kind of disappeared with them. So I was talking to my son about it, and I said, it'd be nice to do that again and revive that. So what I do, actually, I've got a pool of guitar players in the U.S., and then I've European and Scandinavian guitar players in Asia as well. So we're all part of this great guitars family. So
fantastic.
This is actually our very, very first great guitars tour that we're doing together. So, we're very excited about it.
I hope it's the first of many. And we've got time for one more tune. What would you like to play to finish
Okay. On? Well, I thought I'd play something because I probably sent you to sleep with that one. You were talking about my influences, and you can listen to a guitar players. You listen to guitar players, and you can usually say, well, I can hear their influence. You can hear it directly into that. But what you hear sometimes with any instrumentalist that has been inspired really by other instruments, it's not necessarily so obvious. So my influences were mostly piano players. So that's why when I'm playing, it's really like the left hand and right hand of the piano. So I'll have maybe a line on the top, and then I've got these other things going on. So it's not like chord melody guitar playing. This is linear playing, so I have lots of different lines all going on. So I'm playing it mentally. It's like a piano player would approach it. So that's the guitar player that was a master of that, of course, was great George Van Epps. So piano players were my influence, and one of those piano players was Art Tatum, who I just was first time I heard him. When I heard him when I was a little kid, my dad used to play his records, and he just used to make me laugh. There's just great sort of humor and fun in his playing. So I'll play something, a little tribute to Art Tatum. That is, I'm going to play some Stride.
Wow, excellent.
Stride guitar.
Rhythm.
It is I Got Rhythm.